When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What's going on, Notre Dame fans? Mike Singer and Tim Hyde here from Blue and Gold. We are back with our Wednesday night live show. Hope you guys had a happy holiday and Merry Christmas. Joey asks right off the bat, how was your Christmas? I will say mine was amazing, but I am happy to be right in this chair in my home and not so much with the in-laws. Do love the in-laws. I will say if they are watching this. But yeah, it was a good few days. Tim, did you brave the elements? You've been hanging in there?
Yes, crazy. I know we were texting yesterday. Literally we got 5 inches of rain, slush, whatever you want to say on Friday. It's 50 degrees. We were part of that national weather where we literally dropped 45 degrees within a couple hours and everything just froze. Had to come over to the mother-in-law's house, reboot the internet after 5 full days. She didn't know what to do, so she had to go back to playing, some cards and doing some puzzles. But I got her up and running. YouTube TV's happening, and she's fired up. So life is good after a very, very cold, which I know most of America had over the Christmas weekend. It was wild.
Yeah. So Tim's up in the Massachusetts area. I live in Atlanta, and it was 12 degrees here. Which is very cold for Atlanta, but I was in the Clearwater, Tampa area for Christmas, and it was in the 40s, which is like that's about as low as it gets down in Central Florida. So definitely appreciate the super chat, Joey, and all the support. Yeah, please do, like Joey says, give this video a thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. If you're with us live or watching back, that is always appreciated. And he also said, yeah, ready to chit chat. Hashtag team chit chat. We'll talk Sam Hartman in this show. We'll talk Gator Bowl. And I want to start off with some recruiting topics. Just last week, Notre Dame signed the number 8 class in the country per the On3 consensus. Here's something, Tim, that I did find interesting. Notre Dame's class score is 92.65. Yep. So basically what that means is there is a rolling average of 20 commitments taken into account of the On3 consensus team rankings. Just bear with me. So Alabama has 28 commitments. They have the number 1 class in the country. But only the top 20 of those players are counted towards the ranking because that's the average number of commits for all Power 5 schools. So Alabama's average rating, so this is rating per recruit. So like a 5-star is like a 98 or 95 or something, and then your low-end 4-star I think is like an 88 or 89. I'm not 100% sure. But their average rating per recruit is 93. But when you only count the top 20, their score is 96.234. So that's obviously very interesting. For Notre Dame, last year their score was 92.59. So even though Notre Dame signed the number eight class this year, it's actually 0.05 points better than last year's class, which was number 6 in the country. So on paper, per this metric, they did sign a very, very, very slightly better class, but it is two slots worse than the national rank. Does that make sense, Tim?
Oh, 1,000%. I know last week we were talking with Goolsby. It's like, we get so hung up in these rankings, like, oh, who's two, who's five, who's six. The margin between some of these is so minuscule. You might as well, you got the big two and then the next 10 is basically what it looks like in a lot of these cases, which is fine. So when you got Notre Dame being 8-6 last year, it's basically the same class. It's more, but it's actually better because they have more blue chips this year. And, and on top of that, a little Tim Hyde research I did was going back to last two years, I saw a little bit of your interview with Darren where you were talking about going back 10 years, Notre Dame back-to-back classes. It's like, Notre Dame, people don't realize it. Once again, you look at the class rankings too much. But when you look at blue chip ratings over the last 2 years with Marcus Freeman, you have Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Notre Dame, the only four programs that hit back-to-back years over 70%. And 70% is the elite threshold, like elite of the elite. The only four programs have hit that the last two seasons. So when you look at that, it's been an unbelievable 2 years. Have they missed? Of course they have. But so has these other programs. It doesn't seem like it, right? That Alabama's missed, but they've had a few, and it's gone on and on and on with multiple programs. But when you sit back a week later, and that's what I kind of was doing today, it's a hell of a football class that they signed last Wednesday, I believe.
All right, folks, please do hit that thumbs up. If you drop super chats, we'll get to your comments as soon as possible. But when I was driving to Florida last week, I had this idea of an exercise that we could do about this class, Tim. This is either going to be a fantastic segment or it's going to be absolutely terrible. A key to this segment we're about to do is the live chat. So if you're listening back on podcast, this doesn't include you. If you're watching back on YouTube, feel free to comment. But we really need the live chat interaction for this. What I want to do is go through all 24 recruits Notre Dame has signed. And let's look at which, because we can talk about rankings. Oh, this guy's a 3-star, this guy's a 5-star. Which players did Notre Dame sign that were really wanted by other schools? That is subjective, right? When you say who wanted. Tim and I in the chat, we are going to be the rulers on this for who is wanted. Right? Like which, so I think first, Tim, we need to establish who are the powerhouse programs in the country. So if we start off with Charles Jagasaw and we look at his offer list, and remember, some players are going to have a really gaudy offer list, right? But maybe not all those schools were really after that commitment when push came to shove.
Yeah.
But who are we putting in this powerhouse criteria, right? You start with some schools, Tim.
Yeah, when you say power, well, obviously the big two, the big three, if you want to say that, right? Ohio State, Alabama, and Georgia. Definitely the big three. I hate this. I'm not going to say it, Mike. I'm not going to say it, but somebody in a city with the initials AA.
Michigan? See, powerhouse is so interesting because if you put Michigan in there, I'm going to want to put Notre Dame. It's like, so are we talking just teams that have won national championship? This is a very subjective thing that we're doing here.
Well, they beat Ohio State 2 years in a row. They beat Ohio State and Columbus.
They've gone playoff back-to-back. So we're going to put Michigan in there.
I would just – they've been back-to-back playoffs. Notre Dame's definitely – because they've been to the playoffs twice, right, in the last, 5 years, whatever you want to say.
All right. Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, Oklahoma?
Sure. Because it's easy to win there. I would say Oklahoma.
Put Notre Dame in there. Can we agree? Notre Dame's a powerhouse?
Sure.
Chat, you guys let me know.
I would see Wolf know Michigan. The guy loves.
We're going to put Michigan in there. I mean,
back-to-back Big Ten titles, back-to-back playoff bursts, and they beat Ohio State, who is undefeated, number two in the country. They beat him in Columbus. Right.
Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, Oklahoma, Notre Dame.
you got to go to the school where Brian Kelly went. I mean, they won multiple national championships.
You would put LSU in there?
Yeah, I would, because that's, once again, a program. I mean, three head coaches, three national champions.
Yeah. Jeremy says Clemson a powerhouse. I think we got to drop Clemson in there.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, yes. Dabo Swinney, most definitely.
All right, this is the official – this is your official list right here. You got me.
Who else is out there?
You got me testing the pen. And so you let me know who else. This is great stuff right here. Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, LSU, Clemson. Please ignore my serial killer handwriting.
I would – yeah, I would – I mean, obviously, I'm a big Notre Dame guy, so I always think of USC being a Los Angeles guy. I know they've been down, but
no USC.
If we're going the last 5 years, of course not a power.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say that.
Yeah, yeah. I would say about last five years.
That's fair enough. I'm starting to think Pac-10, Washington, Oregon. Yeah,
people saying USC in the chat.
It's tough because SC with the right coach never loses. I mean, they win. When you get the right coach in there, they produce and win. No, I wouldn't say Oregon's a powerhouse. I think Oregon's a regional school that has a lot of Nike money. I don't think they're a national school to go out and get people. When you think powerhouse in the SEC, instantly you go the big three, which is obviously LSU, Alabama, and Georgia. I consider LSU because the last three head coaches there have won national championships. Utah's not a powerhouse.
Utah. I don't know. Oregon, as Utah. I pull up the trusty Wikipedia.
I would put Oregon in the top 15 of national programs just because they've been in the playoffs. They've been in some, the big bowls over the years, played for two national championships, with, when they had Marcus Mariota and then the Chip Kelly year. So
I'm going to say definitely no to USC, but Oregon, I can listen to an argument. I can listen to an. I'm dropping Yerday in the chat. Where are you? So you say no?
I would say no. As far as when I think of a powerhouse program, I would say. I mean, they didn't look like one when they played.
All right, we got four straight nays. So this is our official list: Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, LSU, Clemson.
So no Texas. Texas is just name only, right? How's that? Texas is a name only, not a powerhouse right now.
For right now. See, this is
because once again, you start thinking blue bloods. You start thinking the traditional power brokers of college football.
So what are your standards for powerhouse? We're kind of thinking about your wins. Like, what have you done for me lately the past few years? But it's just tough because your players on the West Coast, like your Rico Flores and Cooper Flanagan's, like, mainly West Coast offers. So it's like, but they have the powerhouses of the West Coast.
Yeah. The list can change, as Joey said. I don't know.
Texas.
Years, yeah. I look a lot. If Notre Dame's going to be a consistent player in Texas, I think we have to look at, is Texas recruiting those guys? I think that's a big thing to go into Texas. So if you get Jaden Gray in the house, who obviously Texas wanted. So I guess more of a regional thing. If you're looking at region,
my experiment is already falling apart, Tim.
All right, no,
this is still going to be fun.
I do like it.
All right,
yeah, and the Brian says right here, the Blue Bloods are different from powerhouses, without a doubt.
Yeah, so Blue Bloods is more of your traditional powerhouses. Maybe what have you done for me lately?
And that's why I mentioned SC.
You know what, John? It's very vague and it's very subjective. I don't know what you want me to do.
Auburn over Michigan? No, come on.
All right. So we'll start. BC says, don't look back. Look at now. Yes to USC. No to USC. Sorry, BC. I mean, what have they done? I mean, they haven't made a playoff. They piss down their leg every time they get a chance to. So wow. I'm going to say no. But thank you for the super chat. So Charles Jagusaw had pretty much was down to Notre Dame and Michigan, right?
Yes.
So we're putting Jagusaw in this experiment of who did the powerhouse programs really want. We're putting Jagusaw in there.
Oh, I would definitely say that.
Jeremiah Love, I was told today? It was Texas A&M and Georgia were after him. Yeah, we're after him late. We knew about – I had already reported on A&M. I did not know Georgia was going after Jeremiah Love late after he'd already committed to Notre Dame. So we're putting – J Love.
I would definitely, yes. And plus, Michigan was always rumored to be flipping him, right?
Yep. That was bull, but they were after him before he committed to Notre Dame for sure. But they had no shot there at the end. Okay. Drake Bowen.
God, he committed so he long. He did ago, commit right?
so early.
And it was a Clemson, but wasn't it a Clemson, Notre Dame, Auburn Final Three, yeah. if I remember right?
Yeah. I mean, Michigan was after him. See, the thing is, there's going to be a lot of players we're going to say yes to just because of Michigan being on there, because Michigan wanted all of Notre Dame's players. Yeah. Whereas I don't believe Notre Dame offered a single Michigan signee. But between Ohio State, I mean, Clemson, obviously. Clemson, I mean, all these schools.
Yeah. Clemson was, I think they're final two because it was baseball. It was a combination of both, correct? Yeah.
Christian Gray had a Final Four of Ohio State, LSU, USC, Notre Dame.
Yes, that's a powerhouse corner right there.
All right, so we got Christian Gray. This one's going to be interesting.
Ooh, here we go. If I go back to his recruiting.
No, for podcast audience, we're talking Braylon James.
Yeah, Braylon James. I thought it was always a Stanford, Notre Dame, TCU. Not any of the big powers, correct?
Yeah.
And we're, you know, and I'm a big, the one of the great features of On3 is the visits. They do a really good job at visits. And I don't know what powerhouses he visited as he got close. You know, I haven't looked at his profile. So,
yeah.
But I just remember it was always a TCU, or I thought they had to pry him away from Stanford.
He was silent to Stanford was the –
So I would say the powers that be, you know, we're not like banging on his door.
Okay. All right. I'm in agreement with you. So no on Braylon James. Still a fine freaking player. We're not saying, oh, because of that. I just thought this was interesting. I thought this was going to be interesting. Brennan Vernon's a hell yes.
Yeah, because they got him away from Buckeye Land. And he just turned off his phone, right?
Jaden Osbury is a hell yes. LSU.
LSU.
Jaden Greathouse, Final Four, Notre Dame, Texas, South Carolina, Oklahoma.
Then didn't he take an unofficial to Oklahoma again? After he committed? No, he never did, right? Okay. I don't think so.
Micah Bell. Georgia offered him late.
Oh, offered him late. Yeah, tried to get him to flip.
With his I was going
to
say, I couldn't remember where LSU kind of stood with him. But,
he was not in the big dogs, weren't on him, right? It was like Notre Dame and Harvard, right? it was not a big list like with the traditional powers. But, yeah, Georgia was late.
So we're going to say Boubacar Traore is no.
I would say no because he was a B. I know
Michigan.
Michigan, but that was – Yeah, but was he even looking at them? He was a BC commit, so he wasn't really looking at Michigan, was he? I'm not saying I know all the be-all with him, so I'm not sure. I think when they flipped him, he was pretty solid, right? To BC at the time. I would say no.
I'm going to lean no on Boubacar Traore. Sullivan Apsher is a yes.
Clemson, yes.
Again, folks, if you're just joining us, Tim and I are going through an exercise of – the powerhouse programs who just by our criteria on the spot, we came up with Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, Oklahoma. I put Notre Dame, but obviously all these guys have offers from Notre Dame, so they don't count for this. Otherwise, they'd all be, targeted by a powerhouse program, LSU and Clemson. And so far, the players who we have identified as another powerhouse, all of these programs are national title contenders on a given year. Charles Jagasaw, Jeremiah Love, Drake Bowen, Christian Gray, Brendan Vernon, Jaden Osbury, Jaden Greathouse, Micah Bell, Sullivan Apsher. Kenny Minchie.
I mean, he committed to Pitt, and he was a Pitt guy until he called up Notre Dame, says you still got a spot, right? Yeah. That's kind of how that went. Never heard too much about him with the other schools recruiting him.
Yeah, so Kenny Minchie is going to be a no on this list. Rico Flores, I know he had that amazing offer list, but
no, he did take an official to Georgia, but was Georgia, and I think Ohio State was always full, so they were never.
I think he took an official to Georgia.
Okay, maybe I thought he did.
At least per this, he didn't. I want to say Yeah, he was supposed to take a couple officials, but they got canceled.
Oh, it was all the – yes, yes, that's what it was.
Yeah, when I was thinking about this, him and James were the tough ones that I wasn't sure where they were going to go.
Me personally, I would say no on Rico just because Ohio State didn't push for him at the end when they were loading up with their guys, right? And Georgia was always – Georgia was going to get who they wanted, it seemed like.
So Devin Houston is in Michigan.
Is he in Michigan?
His brother played at Michigan. Michigan wanted him. We throwing him on this list.
God, that's crazy. Just with Michigan, right?
It's the one school. It feels weird just by saying the one program. But we did it with Jaden Greathouse in Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's fine. With Houston. I mean, believe me, if Michigan could have gotten him, they would have gotten him. And the next guy is a definite yes, because Nick Saban recruited the heck out of
Cooper Flanagan. Yeah, it's Cooper Flanagan.
Without a doubt.
Brandon Hillman. I mean, Oklahoma offered him U.S. – I bet USC's not on the list, but I don't know.
I would say no.
Okay.
I mean, that's just my take, you know, unless – I mean, I'm not – who else was really on him, you know? I know it became a hot name after a while, but
– yeah.
I mean, where did he take his official? The Notre Dame? And then that was kind of – I think – then UNC, I remember you reported he just visited because it's local, right?
Yeah, it was like a – yeah, that Notre Dame, or he took an official to Kentucky, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that was it. Okay. I would say no.
Yeah. I would probably put Ben Minnick in no as well. I know Oklahoma had offered him, but it just didn't seem too serious.
It seems like Oklahoma offers a lot of bodies. So,
all right.
That's the other thing. Next year, whenever we do this again, it's like I'm a big believer in visits. If you don't visit, how official is that? You know, that's one of those next little criteria will. That will adjust.
If Tennessee ends up making it into this group, it's going to be tough because they offer everybody. Tennessee is like known for offering everybody. So, Adon Shuler had Alabama.
Ole Miss with Ed Ogeron when you're at like 750 offers. He just offered everyone in America.
Adon Shuler had Alabama, Georgia, and then Ohio State offered him late. So, I'm going to say yes to him.
I would say yes because teams kept calling him. They kept calling him.
Yeah. Joe Otting would be a no.
I'd say no.
Sam Pendleton.
Now, when Pendleton, Clemson and Michigan were in his final four, correct? Was Clemson? Or am I thinking of
so? I want to say Clemson maybe kind of tailed off, but Michigan was always in on him.
Yeah, it was Michigan. I was thinking of Sullivan Apsher when I think of Pendleton. So,
I think we put Pendleton in there.
I would because once again, Michigan would have went toe to toe and got him. You know.
Same reason Michigan is really adding up this list. Zinter,
Preston, they offered like 18 guys, didn't they? 18 commits or something. So,
sounds like an article I need to write soon. Preston Zinter, I mean, he had a lot of the big boys on his offer sheet, Georgia, LSU, Ohio State.
But
of this group, I think this was like the final four: Notre Dame, BC, Penn State, and
Michigan. I'll tell you what, he is – I know you wrote a superlatives of all – this kid, man. I've gone – I don't know, for some reason, Goolsme has got me intrigued. I went and found a few, like, full games on YouTube. And how – I would love to know how in the heck he's a three-star because this kid is such an amazing athlete, wide receiver, tight end, DN, middle linebacker, unbelievable skills. So that's my – 30-second commercial on Preston Zinter. Is he an early enrollee? He's going to be my he's going to be my spring guy I want to watch just because I've watched his senior film. God, I love this kid, man. He is a damn good football player.
He is an early enrollee.
So. Okay. He's long. I know Goolsby talked about his length. He really is. So thumbs up to him.
Then the final three, Chris Tarrant, Caleb Smith, and Armel Mukum are all no's.
No's.
So, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Wait, 14 of Notre Dame's 24 signees we are saying were really pursued by other powerhouse national championship, you know, programs in the national championship picture year in, year out. That's pretty darn good, Tim.
That's a good group right there. Yeah, it's a good group. I know half of them are Michigan guys and people don't want to count them, but you got to count them.
But now that we're counting it, now we like that, because if we didn't have Michigan on there, it might be like 8. So
that'd be a little bit lower. It'd definitely be a bit lower. But then you also go a guy like Chris Terrick, who is, you know, who recruited him, one of the O-line U's of America in Wisconsin. You know, you start looking at those types of criterias for a guy. You know, Caleb Smith, I know he was Texas Tech. Who slings it more than the Big 12? So, you know, you start looking at little criterias like that if you want to dive deeper in the data with some of these guys. But no, it goes back to my point. I think it's a hell of a signing class. And Coach Freeman and his entire staff did a great job. I mean, they got so many early commitments. And I love that Freeman quote in his press conference, like, well, I mean, he was talking about, hey, it's harder to decommit. So get committed and keep these guys, keep them in the fray. And you just keep pounding them that Notre Dame love the longer and longer and longer. So I like that philosophy. I think it's one that works.
I think it's a great point that it's harder to get them to, right? It's harder for the kids to decommit than it is to commit, right? Yep. So while Irish fans are like, they look at it as glass half empty. Oh, Dante Moore, Keon Keeley, Peyton Bowen, you lost those guys, Justin Rhett. But if Notre Dame didn't recruit this way, maybe they don't not only get the commitments or silent commitments from those guys, but you got to look at who they did get and sign because of this, pushing hard for those commitments. You know, maybe if they're not aggressive, maybe they don't even get Jaden Greathouse to commit, or Braylon James. Maybe he's off at TCU or Stanford right now. So some things to think about.
And real quick on that, it's like, you know, and the guy you do lose, like Rhett. It's like, would you rather have Rhett or Micah Bell? I mean, would you want Rhett or Micah Bell's speed, who could do multiple things on the football field? Those are sometimes, you know, you lose someone. I'll take Micah Bell, the guy who runs the speed that he has, over Rhett any day. So, you know, you lose some, things happen. And then how many times, Mike, have you been saying on the message board, how many players did Notre Dame flip? Seven players this year. Multiple football players. Yeah. Damn good football players. So, yeah, sometimes what goes around comes around, and Notre Dame ended up getting their fair share as well.
Yeah. Covering recruiting can be stressful, folks. So that's why sometimes, you know, you just, after a full day of following college football recruiting, maybe you just need to get into some RogueShop.com products. So they are sponsors for our Notre Dame football show, Pod Like a Champion. Definitely appreciate these folks. Mr. Rogue and his wife, Char, specialize in small batch sustainable plant medicine, a true holistic type of small business. They farm everything themselves and grow it by hand. Products, folks, that will give you euphoria, but really so much more. Products that have been known to help with stress, anxiety, chronic pain, insomnia. Their goal is holistic healing, making your life better. If you suffer from stress, insomnia, reducing inflammation, anxiety, mood disorders, they have topicals that are great for pain in specific areas. So folks, definitely head to RogueShop.com, use promo code blue and gold. That is the word blue, word and word gold. Throw it in, you get 10% off your order when you write as many articles as I do and produce as many YouTube videos. You don't get as much sleep. So when you do, and that sleep cycle comes, you want to make sure you fall asleep and stay asleep. Again, folks, promo code is blue and gold to get you 10% off your order. RogueShop.com, Indiana's place for legal CBD, THC, and so much more. All right, Mr. Hyde, wanted to move into talking about a really interesting preferred walk-on get for Notre Dame. Now, not often do we take precious real estate on this show talking about a walk-on, but this young man is as good as they get. I mean, if we're talking preferred walk-ons, if we were to rank them, this is a five-star. Because you just don't get preferred walk-ons who have offers from Oregon State, Utah, Washington State, Wyoming, and Colorado State. This is a guy who in some years, Tim, if Notre Dame were to offer him a scholarship and he would have committed, you wouldn't have thought a whole lot about it, right? And you get him as a preferred walk-on. What do you think about this kid?
Well, yeah, as soon as you posted that, I saw people chatting about him, and I jumped on his film. He's the one thing I've said 1,000 times, you can't coach height, man, and he's got height. This guy is tall. Huge. He's tall, long. Excuse me. He's a damn good athlete. He really is an athletic kid. He plays multiple positions. I was blown away because I had no idea what to expect. Because I know every time there's a walk-on, you know, you guys always post about him and, you know, let the fans know who's coming to Notre Dame and whatnot. And I'm watching this film. I was like, well, this guy's getting a scholarship in August. I mean, it's a no-brainer. He's not paying anything. He's going to get – this guy will be on scholarship August 10th. He is a damn good football player.
It's bold.
And, well, I'm just saying, let's say Notre Dame's got 84, okay? So he's good because this guy's going to be playing football somewhere for them, as a redshirt freshman, sophomore, you know, by that second, third year. Expect him special teams somewhere. He is a very good high school football player.
Yeah, obviously he's not playing against great competition in Wyoming. I wish the – like great Lou Samoji was with us to tell us Notre Dame's history in Wyoming. But he's listed as a safety. Yeah. I don't really care for that. He's listed at 6'3", 185 pounds. He just needs to be close to the football, you know, like he is coming up here near the box, reading and reacting and laying the wood and forcing a fumble.
He's a rover. He's going to be one of those long rover in the box. Nickel linebackers, whatever you want to call them and whatnot. I wouldn't be surprised if he gains a bunch of weight and he's just in the box type of a guy. You know, I could see him being 6'3", 210, 215 someday playing down there. That's what I think. I don't know if he's going to be a deep, deep safety.
He's impressive.
Oh, he is. He's violent. He's physical. He's he's got no fear. He's fun to watch. He really is. That's what I'm saying. He's going to be a scholarship player. He's going to be playing on Saturday somewhere on a special team. We will definitely hear about him.
Yeah, Luke Talek from Cody, Wyoming, wanted to spend a few minutes talking about him. It's a pretty strong preferred walk-on class. They also got Henry Garrity, a tight end from Michigan, who is the son of former Notre Dame Hooper Pat Garrity, of course.
Great basketball player.
Yeah, someone who grew up an Orlando Magic fan. Very familiar with Pat Garrity. Nice. And Notre Dame still also might get Ryan Mooney, a speedy, young to the game of football wide receiver, also from the state of Michigan. Someone who just started playing football this year and is really impressed. He's got Power 5 offers and preferred walk-on options as well at Notre Dame and Michigan. So pretty strong preferred walk-on class. Any other thoughts on Luke before we move on?
No, it just goes back to his offers. I mean, you got teams compete for the Pac-12 championship wanting him. You got Oregon who beat SC twice this year, so they wanted him. They recruited the heck out of him. Notre Dame, recruited that really good Oregon kid Utah. I'm getting both those names confused. But you got, Utah, you got Oregon State, both ranked ahead of Notre Dame right now. So look at that. Heck of a walk-on offer, and exciting for him because he's going to be on scholarship. I would bet a dollar on that.
All right. You heard it there from Tim Hutt. Joey, we'll get to your super chat in a little bit. We'll talk Sam Hartman in our next segment after this one. But Gator Bowl, Tim. Notre Dame's about, what, three-point favorite? I talked about this today, Tim. I would never gamble on an NFL exhibition game. Like maybe I'd throw in a buck or two, right? Just to keep myself interested in watching an NFL, like a preseason game. That's kind of how I feel about this one. Maybe not to that extent, right? But it's Notre Dame's team is totally different than we've seen this season. I mean, the offense and the passing attack was Drew Pine and Michael Mayer.
Yes.
That's gone. Both players are gone. South Carolina, Marshawn Lloyd, the running back's out. Jaheim Bell, they're, a versatile offensive weapon. He's not playing in the game.
They have like 10 guys out, Mike.
It's totally different teams. So it's like a preseason game to me. Like I went to the Dolphins-Bucks game in Tampa the preseason, and Tua's on the sideline not playing. Jalen Waddle's on the sideline not playing. Tyreek Hill's on the sideline not playing. Like, that's basically what this is. So, I don't know, Tim. What do you think?
Oh yeah. I've watched a handful of the South Carolina games. I'm like, why am I watching these? I'm like, that guy's not playing. Two corners are out who are, it's funny. They were in the top 20 in like every single passing defensive statistics this year. Yeah. Cause those two corners are going to be in the NFL. They're not playing. They have a defensive tackle who is a five-star. He's going pro early. I think I read it. I mean, I've lost track, Mike. There's like an offensive tackle. Their best offensive lineman's gone pro. I think it's three tight ends have already transferred at the other programs. A wide receiver's already transferred. They had a guy who played at Oklahoma, transferred to South Carolina, going back to Oklahoma. It's like, what the heck? So, and he played, and he's going back to Oklahoma, and he's skipping the bowl game. But it's like, but you're playing next year. Why wouldn't you play in the bowl game, right? Who cares? I think they may be up to 10 players that aren't playing in this game. Now, Notre Dame's obviously no Cam Hart because of an injury. But you're right. They're in this game because of Drew Pine and Michael Mayer. And they're not playing.
Cam Hart, Drew Pine.
And Foskey.
But, you know, you also got
But the fact that so many are playing, that's my biggest surprise is Patterson's playing, who's not going to be like, I've been hurt for the last multiple years, and he's playing.
What does that speak to? Like, why?
Notre Dame. I think it's more that. I really do. I think he's like, it's my fifth year. I want to go out. I want to get a bowl win. I don't want to sit on the sideline and cheer. I want to play. Josh Lugg is like, I've been here 6 years. There's no NFL, 100% future for me. If I make a team great, he's been, 12 injuries in his career. I say that jokingly because Josh Lugg has been nothing but a warrior for Notre Dame. I mean, the dude is 6'7". He's played center. It's like he's done whatever Notre Dame's asked of him. And he's going, he's playing. Brandon Joseph is a big surprise because you're like, all right, he's a transfer. What's he doing? But he's playing, which possibly might mean he's coming back for a fifth year, along with Cam Hart, who chose to come back already made that announcement.
Yeah.
There's a lot of positives with Notre Dame's with guys playing. Now, obviously, there's going to be a lot of portal expectations. Some of these young guys, for me, as a Notre Dame follower and whatnot, I am extremely happy so many guys are playing. And then the other side of that coin is surprised a half a dozen other guys just, probably know they're not going to play and didn't leave early, didn't do what Pine did. So I'm, very happy for Notre Dame, meaning I think this is a big game for them. And it's one that they could definitely go out and handle. And anytime you beat an SEC team, I think is awesome. So
yeah, Pine's situation was different than the others because he had to leave. As a quarterback, you have to leave, right?
Yeah, but others are playing, right? Let's be honest. About Pine, he got his feelings hurt because he said they told him we're gonna recruit a quarterback.
Sure, but if I'm Drew Pine, I know I'm not Sam Hartman. When Sam Hartman enters the portal after his bowl game, he's got his pick, right? Drew Pine doesn't. So if I'm Drew Pine, I want to get in that portal as soon as I can so I can go get Arizona State, which is a really good landing spot for him.
Hey, I totally agree. And I said that at the time when he did hit the portal, it makes 1,000% is very smart move because he's getting his name out there and he tripped the Brigham Young into Arizona State right away. So very smart move by him instead of waiting till after the bowl game. Cause I don't think these guys could take visits until January 4th. I think I read. With the dead period, but he's a early enrollee or whatnot, so they could take trips during that first week of January. But very smart move by Pine. I have no problem with what he did. It was smart. He's thinking long term because he's got 3 years of eligibility if he uses them all. So smart move for him just to say, I'm done with Notre Dame. Thank you. You're honest to me. I'm honest to you. I'm out of here. And I think in the end, it was good move by both sides.
What do you think about this guy in this bowl game? This is the number one factor. Like, this is the most intriguing thing for this game, right?
Yeah, because he hasn't played in 3 months. So that's the other thing. People are like, oh, it's a big game for Buckner going into next season. first off, this is, we haven't seen what he could do. We haven't seen him in 3 months. The fact that he was practicing, I think at the end of the year when Freeman talked about that, was a huge surprise because no one expected to see him till the spring. So the fact that he's playing now, but I also, and I'm really, really temping my expectations because Buckner's strength is to run. Buckner's strength is to do the zone read fake, hold the DN from crashing, tackling for loss, you know, which we saw time and time again with Jack Cohn, you know, because there's just no fear factor with Jack Cohn. Buckner, you got to fear. But does South Carolina fear him in this game because he hasn't played in 10 games? He has shoulder surgery. He just got, you know, cut on a couple months ago, and now he's playing. So does South Carolina even think he's even going to run the ball? So does some of that get taken away with Buckner coming back? Because my humble opinion, we're not going to see the true Tyler Buckner, because why would they run him out there, a guy who just had shoulder surgery a couple months ago? That makes no sense. So what is this offense going to look at? My biggest question is funny. I wrote on a piece of paper was, who is the security blanket in this game? I mean, Drew Pine had the best tight end in Notre Dame history just to get himself comfortable and to hit in big moments and, you know, big games. And obviously, Michael Mayer had one hell of a football season. Who's it going to be in this game, Mike?
Yeah.
That is the wild card on top of Tyler Buckner.
If Pine didn't know what to do, he's just close your eyes and throw it to 87. Just get it close to 87 and something good might happen.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. But then the thing with Buckner is it was his left shoulder. So it's not like his throwing shoulder is anything. He's, you know, he should be able to throw the ball, be able to have strength and all that stuff, because it's his non-throwing shoulder energy, but it's the zone read keeper. That's his strength, because forcing teams to not go 8-9 men just sprinting every single gap against Notre Dame, because you have a quarterback that can hit you. So I would expect some more play actions in this game, because they're obviously going to run the football like a madman in this football game.
Super Chat from BC says, if Buckner can't throw, when do you put in Angeli?
And that's going to be the whole, see, I look at it like this. You got a quarterback who hasn't played, you know, how about this? We have a quarterback playing in this game who hasn't finished a game since Columbus, Ohio. Okay. Game one. So let's look at it like that. Then you have his backup in this game, Steve Angeli, who was inserted in some games and they didn't even let him throw a 5-yard flat route, which I just never understood. I'm going back to the UNLV game. I'll never understand why they just didn't let him finish that whole game. That was just me. They're up big. Pine gets his head clocked. Take him out. Let Angeli just go have fun in the second half and go beat the heck out of UNLV. But they didn't do that. So when do you put Angeli in? We're going to find out in, 48 hours? Because I have no idea. This game at quarterback for Notre Dame is going to be wild. So I hope they just spread it out and don't allow South Carolina to try and stack the box for those reasons and see if these quarterbacks can hit some passes.
Yeah. Hopefully for Notre Dame's sake, you just get a big time performance from Tyler Buckner, and then you get a nice post Christmas gift from Sam Hartman in the form of a commitment. And then you have those two guys duke it out, let the best man win. And then hopefully one of those two lead you to a national championship, and then you have a jersey from one of those guys in Augie's locker room, signed jersey even. How sweet would that be? So yeah, folks, if you are a passionate Notre Dame fan and you're looking for that special Notre Dame piece to complete your rec room, go to augieslockerroom.com. They have a wide selection of Notre Dame stadium pieces, jerseys, helmets, autographs, and one-of-a-kind Rockne items. You can find exclusive Joe Montana's. It's been a long day, folks. Joe Montana signed items and famous sculpture Jerry McKenna's miniature replicas of the bronze statues you can find around the stadium. If Augie doesn't have it in store, he will find it for you. Visit AugiesLockerRoom.com, or if you're in town, stop in at 1811 South Bend Avenue and see the vintage helmet display dating back to 1890. AugiesLockerRoom.com, 574-277-NDND. And I will just say, if you're a Notre Dame fan and you're in town, you really do have to stop by Augie's Locker Room. Even if it's just, maybe you can't afford one of the big items, just go pick up a $20 Augie's Locker Room shirt. Like, you know, in this day and age where we complain about so much and we root for the little guy, small business, but then we go shop and spend thousands of dollars on Amazon. Come on, go to augieslockerroom.com next time you're in South Bend. Seriously, like, this place is the bomb, and I'm sure Augie would love to talk to you. Jay Prue says, what a lead in. I'm trying to copy my guy Trey Yannity, who I do the recording
show. That was really good. By the way, when's Augie gonna do the Augie, NIL deals with Notre Dame? You know, when are we gonna start getting that? Talk to Augie. How is that not rolling, right? Come on, just get some jerseys in there. You want Joe Walt's jersey? Boom, Augie, hook me up.
There you go.
That should be automatic.
There you go. Maybe we'll have my people talk to their people or something.
Exactly.
All right. Let's talk about.
Oh boy.
Let's talk about Sam Hartman. There's so many different aspects. Let's talk about the kind of elephant in the room. Does Notre Dame get him? I definitely think so. Pete Thamel, reported yesterday that hey, Hartman's planning on entering the portal. And then Notre Dame's the expected landing spot. Pete Thamel is as close to gospel as you can get in college football recording. Like he's legit. My sources are backing up that Notre Dame's the expected landing spot. And Tim, I'm sure you've read my, when I've talked about transfer portal recruiting for Notre Dame, I've obviously said this entire time that I still expect Notre Dame to land somebody, even when they didn't get Devin Leary. And there was no buzz out there for many players, and Hudson Card, that seemed to fall through, and now he's headed to Purdue. I always wrote, like, I still expect them to get somebody, even though it's none of these guys, and the player they might get might not be in the transfer portal yet. Sam Hartman. And, I believe some SEC schools are after him, but I still like Notre Dame here. It just seems like Notre Dame's like the way this is going, it's going to happen after the bowl game. Like, don't distract from the bowl game. At least that's what your hope is, and that it's not a case of, well, he's really just looking at other programs instead. Because, again, I do believe, I've heard Alabama mentioned with him. I've heard Georgia. Kentucky, I believe, was in the, was interested in him before they got Devin Leary. And then I know some folks are thinking, Mike, what are you talking about? He hasn't been in the portal. Well, I think it's been pretty clear to all folks in college football that Sam Hartman would be entering the transfer portal. So, I mean, there's all sorts of, what do you want to call it? Back channel, whatever you want to call it. And I believe a lot of that stuff is legal. But all I will say is that Notre Dame does things by the book. So they're not tampering. They would not tamper. Like, Notre Dame just does not play that. I'm kind of spitballing a lot of topics here, Tim. But a long way to say that I do like Notre Dame to land Sam Hartman. And any thoughts on what I'm saying here?
Yeah, by the way, I mean, tampering, I keep hearing about this. It's like, it's not like, Freeman's talking to him. If a family member talks to someone else and throws a note through the window, that's not tampering.
I don't know.
Exactly. But you always hear about this. It's like, come on, people, let's be real. A lot of these guys are going to places they may know someone, or there's a connection from before. It's like, who recruited him? The Wake Forest. Should we say it? It's Tommy Reese's dad. So he was on the staff. That's been reported out there by, media outlets out there. Thamel talked about it. I know Matt Fortuna for the Athletic has talked about this a ton. He's written features on Sam Hartman, and he's mentioned, just like you have, SEC schools have definitely contacted him, but they expect to go to Notre Dame. So yeah, I mean, it's like, well, he's not in the portal. It's not like these guys are all sitting back, and it's like, when you're that elite, you don't just hang out and then throw your name in and be like, oh, let's see who contacts me. I mean, you start planning it, especially him. He's like, he can go to the NFL. He's smart enough, good enough. He's going to make a roster, but he also wants to enhance that and try and get as high as he can and whatnot. So that whole tampering thing's ridiculous. But as far as him, the quarterback, is awesome. He's good. He really is good. I mean, he is Wake Forest. So he is a one-man machine there. When this all broke, I was cleaning dishes last night, Mike, relaxing, and put on the iPad, Clemson versus Wake Forest. And I just watched Wake Forest's offense, and I'm like, oh my God, this is beautiful. Perfect. I mean, he was a one-man machine bringing them back into that game. So it was a battle with him and DJ going back and forth. And I've seen it, obviously when the news broke, his bowl game. So I'd be curious about those ratings, right? How big were the Wake Forest bowl game ratings in the Gasparilla Bowl? So I actually watched 2 minutes of that game. It's the only 2 minutes I've watched of any bowl games this year. So actually looking forward to watching the Holiday Bowl when I get home tonight. But other than that, I'm excited. I think it's huge. I'm the opposite of you. I think there'll be zero competition. He is the starting quarterback next year if it comes to Notre Dame. There is no competition.
Let's go right into that.
There's none. He is the quarterback. He's the quarterback.
What do you think Tyler Buchner does at that point then?
Okay, I'm Tyler Buchner. I'm sitting back. I've started I'm going into my third start in the Gator Bowl. His third start since 2019. We're going into 2023. So we do not, there's not a big time experienced quarterback there. The COVID year wiped Buchner out, obviously, then the injury this year. For me, I hope Tyler Buchner is very smart about this and realize you're getting a hired gun. You're getting an NFL quarterback coming into South Bend for one season. Buchner knows he could be the number two. I hope Notre Dame is smart and creates plays in a Tyler Buchner type of package, so to speak, to get him ready for 2024. Because 2024, now you've got Katie Barton. I mean, the barn, man, is going to be a wild, wild west at Notre Dame, right? Is Minchie, is Angeli going to be on the bench for 2 years? Does he stick around for year three? You got five-star CJ Carr coming in finally that season. So does that line up to be Buckner's year in 2024? And then 20, you start playing these types of doors, but I don't think Buchner would leave because I don't think he would. Why? He's going to be a solidified number two to where if something happens, boom, he's the guy right then and there. That's my quick take on it.
Okay. As we were just talking here, I remembered something. I covered Sam Hartman when he was a recruit. I used to cover Wake Forest. And
look at that.
Yeah. So there's Mike Singer. And there's Sam Hartman from, I think, his sophomore year. I thought that was interesting to kind of throw up there. That, I did remember that recently. And then it just kind of dawned on me. Yeah, I probably have an article on him as well. So, I remember covering him. He was committed to Wake Forest. Would that have been the 2017 class? Would he have been a 2017 recruit?
Yeah, he committed an entire year ahead of time, I was reading.
No, this says 2018. So, I remember covering him, and he was basically like the CJ Carr. Like, Wake Forest had a 2017 quarterback commit, but it was thinking ahead to Sam Hartman in that 2018 class. And, he was a really good high school player, I remember, and clearly has panned out as well. But Tim, I am fascinated with the Buckner thing. It's always a fascination with what quarterback would say, like that domino that falls. Pine was a domino, right? And sure. I told Goolsby, I was like, dude, I think Pine will go. Oh no, he won't go. I would be shocked if he goes. And for the first time ever, I was right and Goolsby was wrong on a topic. But you think Buchner would? You think Buchner would stay?
I would say he stays just because he's been out one entire full season, and we do love the drama. Look at that. I would say he stays because he's going to be the number two. Going into his junior year, he's going to be the number two guy. It's like, and then I don't know, but Buchner. I mean, we can sit here until we're blue in the face, and we always talk about his talent, his ability, He could run. He could do all these things. But, Mike, if he finishes his game, it's only going to be, the second game he finishes in the last multiple years as the quarterback. So it's, still so much inexperience. And if they get Sam Hartman, if this was, you know, I don't even want to talk about it and jinx it, so to speak, right? But it's like, if this does happen, Notre Dame has a legitimate quarterback, one of the premier quarterbacks in the country.
You know, the most premier quarterback the ACC has ever seen.
Oh, my God. He was the all-time touchdown passing leader. Only Phillip Rivers, speaking of the Gator Bowl, you know, torched Notre Dame back in 02 at NC State. So you got Rivers, obviously the all-time passing yards leader. Hartman's number two. He's an outstanding quarterback. I mean, he was Wake Forest. He won – Wake Forest, for crying out loud, was in the top 10 a year ago, people. Wake Forest was in the top 10 a year ago when they were, what, 8-0, 9-0 at one point. So it's fascinating. He's a heck of a – very accurate. I mean, we'll get into all these things once it becomes official and what it means to ND. We could say a million things. But huge pickup. And instant offense because of his accurate issues. He wants to go downfield. The Notre Dame receivers are probably licking their chops. Like, it's going to open up the offense. I think the offense is going to look completely different. And he's probably picking Notre Dame, I would assume, because Notre Dame, probably, you know, and a lot of people in the Fire Tommy Reese chat out there is they run an NFL-style offense, and he probably wants to be a part of that for a year. That would be my guess.
What do you think about the super chat from Joey, which I definitely appreciate? It says, if Hartman transfers to Notre Dame, could we see a 2QB offense next year? I know it's frowned upon.
What I would say two. I wouldn't be surprised if they did a Buckner type of a thing like they did with Jack Cohn, just to keep him going. Yeah, you know, I'm not saying multiple times in a game or whatnot, but you know, if Hartman's, you know, if he's 2 for 10 to start the game, Buckner go out and, you know, run some stuff, have some fun. But if Hartman's out there slinging it and he's throwing for 330 and 4 touchdowns in a game, ride this guy, man. Use the heck out of him. Use his name. Man, how nice would it be to see Notre Dame have a quarterback in the Heisman hunt? Because that's legitimate will happen. You know, the first three games are wins. You know, I don't, you know, I know we're all, you know, what about Marshall? What about Stanford? No, if Notre Dame loses one of those, Hartman just, boom, go to the NFL and get the hell out of here. But they'll be 3-0 going into the home game against Ohio State. That will be Sam Hartman's Heisman moment that game. You already start writing about it.
Yeah, my answer to this, Joey, is I say hell no. I don't like it. I like it if it's maybe a game of Madden and you're wanting to have some fun and throwing another quarterback to run them around, but I don't think so. I don't think you run it. I don't even think in how Buckner was used as you know, kind of a gadget guy with Jack Cohn. I think Notre Dame needed that because of Jack Cohn's you know, is like what he couldn't do.
Sure.
But Sam Hartman can move.
Sure.
You know, and you don't want – I just don't want Tyler Buckner being a design run. I don't want him as a running back there. He's going to get hurt again. I don't want this kid to get hurt. I don't know. I'm of the belief that Angeli could be QB2 next year. Like, if Hartman comes in, wins the job, like, I could see Buckner going.
Yeah, and if Buckner goes, he's probably – where's he going to go? Mountain West School or something like that, you know. You know, that's what I would expect. I don't, because he still has this injury thing. So it's not like wherever Buckner goes, you know, let's say Buckner went to, you know, Cal Berkeley. I'm just throwing a school out there in California. This, you know, he goes back home, goes to Cal, you know, Pac-12. He still has the injury issue. He still has all those things. They're always going to be in. So it's not like some school's like, oh, this is our guy. Heck no. Wherever he goes, they're going to be, you know, man, this guy's like one ankle sprain, you know, walking down the steps before a spring game for me, an injury again. So that's going to stick with him until he proves otherwise. And he's not going to be able to prove it next year, but maybe just keep getting better. Reps, practice reps, playing reps. I don't know, all those things with Buckner. But the battle, you say Angeli, the battle is going to be Minchie versus Angeli. That's going to be the battle.
Yeah.
That's going to be the battle. Yeah.
So this is what Tim always likes to do, chit-chat about the future Notre Dame quarterbacks, and I'm sure we'll be doing that all off season.
Oh, man.
So it'll be a lot of fun. But so the lineup for our YouTube channel coming up, we posted, I think, three videos, a couple of recruiting videos, and then I interviewed a South Carolina writer to kind of give his to get his perspective on the game from the Gamecock side of things, which I thought was really interesting, especially the first point where he talked about, you know, the kind of the fan base and how they feel about this game. So I definitely encourage you to check that out. Tomorrow we will have myself and Tim in the video giving our final thoughts, observations, and prediction before the game. And then Friday after the game, we'll have our post-game show, Marcus Freeman press conference highlights, Tyler and Patrick giving their live report from the game. And we'll get Goolsby on a show sometime soon as well. I'll text Goolsby once we get off this show and see if he can do a show maybe Saturday. That's going to do it for this week. Mr. Hyde, definitely appreciate your time and Notre Dame fans. Very glad that you guys were able to, spend an hour of your time watching, listening, and consuming our content here at Blue and Gold. Definitely hit the thumbs up on this video, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and head to bloomandgold.com. Just $10 to unlock premium access until the start of next football season. He's Tim Hyde. I'm Mike Singer. Appreciate you folks, and we'll catch you next time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.